And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in with the opening market report this morning. And we'll dispense with the ag news and get right into what's happening around the area, because lots of things are going on in the next week, including the Illinois State Fair, which kicks off this evening in Springfield. If you've never made a trip to the State Fair to see the fairgrounds and what's happening there, it's a really great time. I've spent a whole lot of time on the fairgrounds, and this year the grandstand has a fantastic lineup. Tomorrow evening, Billy Currington is there. And then, important to our area, on Saturday night, REO will be at the grandstand, along with Styx and Head East, John Mayer and Philip Phillips there on Sunday. You can find out all that information online. Just look for the Illinois State Fair and search the schedule for the grandstand. Other things that are happening, of course, the crop production report from the United States Department of Agriculture is due out Monday at 11 o'clock. Be sure to tune in to WILL AM 580 for all the information, and check out our newsletter over the weekend. We'll try to make sure that you get all that information in the newsletter, and then it's updated on Friday so you can see the numbers immediately. Tuesday, I'll be on Focus at 10 o'clock as the guest. You can call in and ask me questions. And on Wednesday, we'll head up to the First Trust and Savings Bank in Watseka for an Ag Outlook panel. On the panel with us, Steve Freet from ADM Investor Services, Chuck Shelby at Risk Management Commodities, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. If you want to go, that one's an appreciation dinner, but Jordan Herleman says everybody's invited. They do serve a meal, so you need to RSVP them. Call Jordan at the First Bank and Trust Savings there in Watseka. And then, well, you can come up and listen and find out what has been done with the crop production report, and we'll try to make sure that you get all that information. Lots of things happening in agriculture this week and next week. Oh, and one other thing, Agronomy Day is Thursday of next week. Almost forgot that. It starts at 7 o'clock a.m. right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Up next now, True Learner with the weather from Kansas City.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Weather across the Midwest remains mostly favorable for this time of the year, even though we've had a problem with degree day accumulations and we've had some concerns about dryness across parts of the region. As we go forward through the next week to 10 days, we're probably going to see a little less intensity of rainfall in some areas, which will be welcome, especially in the corridor from Kansas into the Ohio River Valley, where we have seen the greatest frequency of the intense thunderstorms, and we're going to see that one more time here today and into Saturday morning as a line of storms moves from west to east across this corridor. The storms will be most significant in Kansas and Missouri today, probably focusing on the lowermost Ohio River Valley tomorrow, and then finally tomorrow night into Saturday morning in the middle and upper Ohio Basin. We'll expect the precipitation to run 1 to 2 inches in some locations, and still some very heavy rainfall will occur in at least a few areas. Flooding is already a problem in some locations, mostly outside of crop country, but we may see crop areas more impacted by some localized flooding as we move forward through this period of time. The rain potentials in the northern parts of the Midwest are not likely to be very great for the next few days. We will see a generally dry pattern for the Great Lakes region and the uppermost portions of the Mississippi River Valley until there is a secondary cool front pushing through the region as we finish out the weekend and move into the early part of next week. Now, this new reinforcing shot of cooler air is expected to come across the region, producing some cloudiness and some shower activity, but I think it's going to be very difficult to support any kind of serious amount of rainfall, mainly because the original front, the one that's pushing through the Ohio River Basin today, tomorrow, and early Saturday, will have cut off the moisture influx from the Gulf of Mexico, trapping most of the moisture and the thunderstorm activity in the delta and the southeastern parts of the country. So when this next little frontal boundary comes in to reinforce the coolness, it won't have a lot of moisture to work with. So even though some of the computer forecast models have suggested rain would develop again on Sunday and move on across a fair amount of the Midwest on Monday and Tuesday, and I think that will happen, but the amount of rain that results will probably be rather light, running a few hundredths of an inch to 5/10 of an inch most often. There may be a couple of locations that could get something locally heavier, but I really don't think it'll happen very often, and that includes the state of Iowa, where everybody's focus of attention has been here recently. We are expecting to see relatively dry conditions occur through a big part of the middle and latter part of next week as that secondary cool air mass stops into the region for a while. A surface high pressure system will center over the heart of the Midwest that should suppress all of the precipitation for a while. The second week of the two-week outlook this morning is of interest because the two most recent computer forecast model runs suggested that there would be a bit of a warming trend and continued less precipitation relative to previous forecasts this week. I'm not ready to completely buy into this, but I do think less precipitation will be a prospect that will verify for the lower parts of the Midwest, and we'll probably see temperatures a bit warmer just simply because we've drained all the coolness out of the Arctic for a little while. In the meantime, though, it will be cool here this first week of the two-week outlook. Temperatures often will run in the upper 60s and 70s across the far northernmost parts of the Midwest. Most everybody else will see 70s and lower 80s frequently. Low temperatures at night will be in the 40s and 50s across the north, and mostly 50s and some lower 60s in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Hey, thanks to Drew Lerner for his updates of the markets, or rather of the markets for the weather. He's in Kansas City at World Weather Incorporated. Speaking of the markets, here's how they're trading in Chicago at this hour. Corn futures up 5 to 6 cents. Soybeans are 20 to 17 cents higher. Live cattle futures up a couple of bucks. The feeder cattle up a couple of dollars. And the lean hogs are up about 75 cents for the day. On the phone line to talk about those numbers and a whole bunch of other things is Ellen Dearden. She's at Ag Review in Morton, Illinois. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Morning, Todd.
Well, let's start with the rally that we have happening at the Chicago Board of Trade in both the grains and the oilseeds.
Yeah, hoo-hoo.
Yeah,
and, hard to imagine since we've gone through such an extended period of downside action. I think there were two things going on today. One is the unemployment numbers, preliminary unemployment numbers that came out for the U.S. showed more people with jobs. The second thing was that China imported a record amount, 2.6 million barrels of crude per day in the month of June. That doesn't show the big slowdown that everybody's been worried about for China.
Yeah, so they're thinking economic activity in China and looking at their crop saying, hey, wait a second, they've had some hot weather, I suppose, and they've been selling soybeans into the marketplace, and they might need to replace, I guess.
They definitely need to replace it, and really the export bookings for the new crop beans reflect that they're already doing some buying. Certainly those were good at 37.4 million bushel for new crop. Old crop, just a puny 2.9 million. Todd, we took off and went over 1180 on the November beans. That really opens the door for $12 resistance to be tested here.
You think they'll go up and try it?
I think they could. We'll continue to see short covering, I think, ahead of this Monday report. The trade's got some pretty bearish numbers dialed in, 3.3 million bushel bean crop and the 14 billion bushel corn crop. So I think people are just a little bit antsy and wondering whether they should all be leaning on the bear side of this market.
How about you? Which side do you want to lean on at the moment?
I'm not in the 14 billion bushel category, but I think USDA will put out a high number this time and also a large yield. The soybean yield to me is a real wild card, also what they do with acres. Ending, that leaves ending stocks of beans, I think, a humongous question mark. Are we going to be a 200 million bushel, or are we going to be 180 million, or are we going to be 300 million? I think we could go any of those.
All right. We'll find out, I suppose, more on Monday morning. Have you been out and looked at the crop? What's it look like in your area?
Absolutely. I'm in the Peoria area, and we've got corn all over the place. Some that's well filling and long ears, somewhere in the 16 to 18, around 34 to 40 length, really looking pretty good on the corn crop. Some other is just starting to pollinate. There's some that needs maybe 2 weeks. Beans are still rather short, although they are growing and starting to bloom pretty nicely. Potting has been extremely slow. I think the beans are behind. Some sunshine and some warmer weather and a little bit of rain would be helpful.
Well, you might get the sunshine, maybe a little bit of rain, but I don't think you're going to get the heat over the next couple of weeks. At least that's not what the forecast is saying. And I suppose we'll have to figure out whether this crop makes it to maturity or not before frost comes in.
Yeah, there's a lot of question about that. And I know some of the private weather people are starting to beat that drum a little bit.
Anything else we need to talk about in particular for livestock this morning?
I just want to make a quick comment on the wheat. Is Kansas has had a tremendous amount of wheat ground receiving moisture this week, whether it's about the eastern two-thirds of the state, and that'll put them in awfully good shape to get a hard red winter wheat crop planted this fall. We're still seeing wheat being used as feed. That's probably going to end soon.
Thanks so much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden is with AgriView. She's out of Morton, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing, or rather the opening market report on a Thursday morning. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Corn futures are trading the December up 5 and a quarter at 463 and a half. November beans at 1184 and a quarter, up 18 and a half. Wheat futures in the soft red at 646 and a quarter, up 2 and 3 quarters. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.